ever have an accident, but if it should occur, you want to have the crew as safe as possible.
Haynes New Ambulance puts a focus on patient and crew safety. And Sea Alaska elections go cyber. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Sea Princess cruise ship will not be in Haynes Tuesday as originally scheduled. The June 14th call in Haynes was canceled due to what Princess Cruises is calling operational setbacks that have arisen. The setbacks caused the Sea Princess to have to sail about 5 hours late from San Francisco, meaning she cannot keep her original itinerary intact with the speeds required to carry out the schedule. The notice from Princess was sent to tour operators earlier this month with a suggestion to open tour space to passengers on cruise ships docked in Skagway. The Sea Princess plans to resume its normal schedule after that, with its next visit to Haynes on August 23rd.
Dispatch, medic one en route, three on board.
The Haynes Volunteer Fire Department just got another set of wheels. A 2010 custom-made ambulance from Seattle arrived to the fire hall last week.
About a half a dozen features that are different. LED lighting, pivoting seat here. It's a CPR seat or just it's an action area seat where you can man the defibrillator or have access to the patient. But when you go into the scene, you're actually able to face forward. So if for some reason an accident would occur, you'd be more secure.
Al Batchley is the training officer at the department, which does about 250 ambulance runs throughout the Chilkat Valley every year.
We have a 2005 ambulance, which is in real good condition. But our backup ambulance is 18 years old, and it was not really able to handle all the equipment that we currently were using on it. So we had to fashion makeshift ways of securing our defibrillator and things of that nature. So to adequately secure all the equipment and to use it at its maximum capacity, we needed to get a new ambulance. And 18 years old, you want to have a reliable ambulance. So pretty much this new ambulance is going to be our first line ambulance, and our six-year-old ambulance will now be the backup ambulance.
Badgley worked with the Haynes Borough, the ambulance crew of about 18 volunteers, and ambulance builders down south to model the $170,000 Ford F-450 to Haynes specifications. 90% of the cost was covered through outside grant programs with state and federal governments.
Most people would really want to take advantage of that. So to do that, you had to go through certain criteria, and we had to pretty much justify it, and we had multiple people, multiple agencies and organizations in our community sent letters to support the need of our ambulance service, and we really appreciate that because that was important in justifying why we should be able to have another ambulance.
He says improved safety features such as the rear view backup camera and compartment doors that are more secure are the most exciting part.
It's a safety net, so if there was an accident, you would not get flung all the way forward since you're side facing. We've got glove boxes in the door now, so you don't have to reach inside. The automatic step that comes out. And we have four-point harness on this seat. The key element is trying to deal with transporting to and from the scene. A lot of times you're going to a scene and you're trying to get there in a hurry, and having people seated properly and facing the right position is a big asset because, you know, you never know when somebody's going to pull out in front of you or something of that nature, and hopefully we would never have an accident, but if it should occur, you want to have the crew as safe as possible.
But crew members or seasoned ambulance riders won't notice much of a difference. They both still carry two patients laying down and look pretty much the same. The new one was modeled after the 2007 ambulance and was ordered from the same people who built that one.
If you picture yourself buying a house and you go, wow, this is exactly what I want. But after about 3 or 4 years, you go, man, if I could have just changed this and this and this, it would have been just right. So pretty much after 5 years, we were able to make some minor adjustments and say, hey, you know, this is what we could use. And if you went from one ambulance to the other, looking at it from the outside and looking at it from the inside, unless you're really used to it, you may not know if this is the 2005 ambulance or the 2010 ambulance. Haines Dispatch, Medic One on scene.
That's the new air suspension system. There's also a hose inside that runs from the heating ducts to heat the inside of blankets or a sleeping bag for hypothermic patients.
Bring the oxygen and the EMT-1 kit. Bring the MRX also.
Badgley's been with the department for more than 20 years. In that time, he's ridden in more than a few different rigs.
Our first ambulance, which was a van style, but it was really not, that was a 1970 vintage ambulance. So it kind of got sold, but it wasn't really equipped as an ambulance per se as the ambulances are now. So it's still running around. It's been painted over, but you can still see the outline of the lights on the top.
The borough has not decided what to do with the oldest ambulance, but Badgley says they're considering different options. They could keep it as a third ambulance or command center, let it go to another department.
And the third option would be to let somebody else use it as a non-ambulance in some other aspect. But that would be a waste, it seems like, of all the equipment that's involved in this ambulance. So.
You can see photos of the new Haines ambulance at the KHNS website, along with this newscast.
Dispatch, Medic One en route to the clinic.
Alaska board elections are online this year. The Southeast-based Regional Native Corporation has set up a new system for shareholder balloting. Voting, meanwhile, is a little quieter this time around because the ballot has no resolutions. But as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, it's not for lack of trying.
Four incumbents and nine challengers are running for Sea Alaska's board of directors this year. The corporation's almost 21,000 shareholders have been sent paper ballots, as usual, which they can mail in. But they can also vote online. Nicole Hollingstad, Sea Alaska Vice President and Corporate Secretary, says about 12% of those voting so far tried the new system.
We are hoping that it simply provides one more mechanism by which our shareholders can be engaged in the corporate process of voting, and that the numbers, you know, rise as people see how convenient that option can be.
Ballot results, electronic and otherwise, will be announced at the corporation's annual meeting. That's Saturday, June 25th in Haines. Those attending will hear from candidates, although almost all shareholders will have voted by then. They'll also hear about recent business developments and an update on the corporation's lands legislation.
The main thrust of our annual meetings really is the election of our directors, our operations report, and any resolutions that have been brought forth, although this year there are no resolutions on the proxy.
That last part upset some critics who tried to put a term limits measure before shareholders.
We have the same directors on. We're doing very mediocre. And we can't seem to get new people in there.
That's Mick Beasley, author of a resolution limiting board members to four terms in office. He got a similar measure on the ballot 2 years ago, and it lost. Corporate rules require a break before it goes before shareholders again, and this year's annual meeting is shy of that limit.
They might be sleight of hand there. The deal was 24 months, and they ruled that it was 2 days shy of 24 months.
Sea Alaska says it followed the rules, and Beasley did not. Corporate Secretary Hollingstad says completed resolutions are due 120 days before the annual meeting. That effectively requires a 3-year gap. Beasley says he'll likely try again. He's also pushed for changes in discretionary voting, where shareholders turn ballot decisions over to the board. That measure also failed. He's not a candidate this year, though he has been in the past. Hollingstad says more than half of Sea Alaska shareholders have already submitted their ballots, and the final total could be larger than usual because more people are enrolled. Shareholder numbers have grown about 20% since a 2007 vote giving stock to descendants of original members.
the application process is not a closed process. It is open-ended, so as our shareholder descendants turn 18, they are free to submit that paperwork, and as we issue stock to more and more shareholder descendants, it does, in fact, increase our numbers.
That and other factors have changed the balance of where members live. About half reside outside Alaska, most in Washington, Oregon, and California.
In fact, we did a recent study that indicated if the Alaska shareholders in the state of Washington were to be considered their own tribe, they would in fact constitute the fourth largest tribe in the state of Washington, which came as a bit of a surprise to some folks.
Among prominent Pacific Northwest shareholders is Dino Rossi, a Tlingit Italian state lawmaker who's run for U.S. Senate and Washington governor as a Republican. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
And this is Tara Bicknell for KHNS.